Now we turn in your Bibles, please, to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Of course, this is a Thanksgiving service, so what else do we want to do on a Thanksgiving day than to take time to recognize not only the sense that there is someone to give thanks to, but we want to have something to give thanks for. And you know as well as I do that if you and I were to evaluate our lives as to what makes us thankful, it would more than likely be something we can taste, something we can touch, something we can handle. We are controlled, if you please, you and I are controlled by the sense of being well. And when we are well, we can at least show some sense of thanks, but it is something else. I'm always reminded of Eugene Clark. He's now in glory. But for some 30 years, Eugene Clark was a songwriter and Back to the Bible broadcast. He was an invalid for over 30 years. He was never able to see the sun rise, never able to see the sun set, never able to move from his bedroom. And yet, once per month, he would write a new song for Back to the Bible again and again and again until he was called home to glory. One of his best known is "Nothing is Impossible When You Put Your Trust in God. Nothing is impossible when you're trusting in His Word. Hearken to the voice of God to thee. Is there anything too hard for me? Then put your trust. Oh, put your trust. Oh, put your trust in God." You see, his sense of thankfulness did not depend upon his circumstances, or he would never be able to write that. It is this very thing we see in Colossians chapter 1, where St. Paul is writing from a prison. He doesn't have the freedom to move as he would like to move. He doesn't have the ability to do some of the things that would come naturally to him. He was incarcerated not because he was guilty of some vicious crime. The apostle was there because he had found a new life. He had found a new direction. He had found a new dynamic. As a result of this, he became the victim of a society that could not do with any message that transformed a life, that turned it from darkness to light, a society that wanted darkness to prevail so it could continue to do what it always did without being inhibited by it. And like a blaze of lightning, he moved in that world with a gospel that changed the lives of men. And as a result of that, he was in prison. He had never been to Colossae. I think he's getting information of what was happening. And he's sending this letter back. And imagine where he is now. I don't imagine that the cell he was in was none too delightful. I sometimes jokingly say to people, I am not a camper. Most of you who know me know that. For camping, for me, roughing it would be a black and white TV. To be very honest, I have a collar one right now that looks like a black and white TV, too. I'm not a camper. I remember the last time I went camping, it rained. There were flies. No one ever told me that when you have a tent and you hadn't used it for 6 years, that you should get it refinished because if it rains, you might be wet outside and inside. And we were in a place called some lake in Manitoba. This is the truth. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, it started to rain. And all of a sudden, we started to get wet. And then to make things worse, the whole tent flooded. And that was the last time I went tenting. When I came back, I got rid of the tent. And I've never bought one since. And I have no desire to buy one. Paul was in a situation like that, friends. He was in a cold, damp, unresponsive kind of a situation. And from that letter, we get these words, if you please. Look at verse 9 of chapter 1. For this reason, since the day we heard of it, that is your faith, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Imagine. When I lived in Western Canada, I used to go to a place called Drumheller. And in Drumheller, they have one of the maximum security prisons in Western Canada. I used to go there, please listen, to minister. And one of the things I always remember, as I would walk through, first drive through the gate, and then get into this place, you would hear slam, slam, slam behind you. And I still chuckle over it. I think at times, I know I'm going to preach the gospel here, but what if these men decide to have fun with a hostage? It really troubled me. And you can imagine my thanksgiving when the service was finished and I was on my way out. It really, I confess to you, in those days, I was scared stiff of going in to that. I didn't have any sense of thanks while I was in that institution. You know what I wanted? I wanted the time to go so I could get out. I mean, go back to where I was, get out. But listen to Paul. He said, I am giving thanks in prison. I am joyful. My circumstances surely do not speak of that, but I am thankful. I am celebrating. There is a sense of celebration inwardly right now as I write to you. Look at the tense of the verb, giving. At the present moment, he's writing. When the letter gets to the Colossians, he will still be giving thanks. Before the letter was sent, he was giving thanks. So here he was. I want you to understand his circumstances, his environment, his surroundings, and I want you to understand his disposition. What do we see in Paul? We see in Paul, my friends, what I call the meaning of thanksgiving. The meaning of thanksgiving. The meaning of thanksgiving is, first of all, an attitude of gratitude. It is an attitude of gratitude. It is something that happens inside of me that causes me to give thanks outside of me. And so what we see with the apostle is that he is somewhat affected, not by what is happening around him, but by what is taking place inside of him. Giving thanks. To give thanks, my friends, is to be influenced by grace, so that that influence which God is working in me becomes that which causes me to act unlike myself, capable of acting in a different way, contrary to circumstances, contrary to reason, simply as a result of the presence and the influence of the grace of God in my life. The influence of grace. And it was because of that that Paul became aware of a sense of gratitude. There was a feeling of joy. And even though it might be the easiest thing, my friends, to just feel sorry for oneself because of the circumstance, here we see the apostle saying, giving thanks. In other words, God's grace has penetrated my environment, and that grace has reached my heart, and here I am celebrating this morning, celebrating this evening, celebrating tonight, celebrating in spite of the circumstances. There was a reason for it. You see, Paul, my friends, was not only a man with an attitude of gratitude. Sometimes you've heard it, haven't you? I want to thank my lucky stars. I like to ask, what's the name of your star? I want to thank my good fortune. Paul says, listen, I can give thanks because There is someone who is truly the object of my sense of gratitude. He has done something for me, and I want to acknowledge. Listen how he says it. Giving thanks unto the Father. I am moved with a sense of wonder that Paul didn't say giving thanks to God. You see, the reason Paul didn't say giving thanks to God was because Paul was writing to Christians, and Christians have moved beyond the place where they see God simply as one who can do something to one who is something to them. I give thanks to the Father, the one who is the source of my gratitude, the one who knows where I am right now, who knows my circumstances, who knows my environment. Nothing has been lost because of what I'm going through. I give thanks to the Father. This God who has worked in my life to the sense where I am keenly aware of my relationship to Him right now. I have a sense of belonging. I have a point of reference in prison. You know, friends, whenever we go through circumstances in life, we lose our sense of reference. I was telling the class this morning, several years ago, I heard, well, my mother used to say it as well, but I heard a comedian using it later on. And whenever mothers get very angry, they lose their sense of direction or consciousness. They say, "Do you know who I am?" We go through that when we go through circumstances. You see, why in circumstances is a sense of loss of perspective? Why am I going through this is a loss of perspective. See, Paul had a point of reference no matter where he was. He said, "I've learned how to abound. I've learned how to be abased." Someone was teaching him something beyond the regular stuff of life. And he could say, "I know where my point of reference is. In the midst of my circumstances, I want to tell you, I have a Father. I have someone I can relate to. Put me in prison if you want. I'm going to tell you what you cannot do. You cannot touch my relationship. You cannot touch my point of reference. And if you touch my point of reference," says St. Paul, "I let you know something. He has given you permission to do it." What a privilege. Here is this man who understood the meaning of thanks because he had a point of reference, because he could acknowledge the one to whom he was grateful. Listen, friends, if you were a Christian this morning, if you were a believer in Jesus Christ, you have a point of reference. You really do. And the walls might be coming in. And the ceiling might be falling in. And you might feel that there's absolutely no sense whatever to what I'm going through. That might be true, but have you lost your sense of reference? If you lose your sense of reference, my friends, you lose your sense of perspective. That even though you are a child of God, your Heavenly Father does not see fit to keep us from every tragedy in life. He doesn't see fit to do that. Behind a frowning providence, He hides a smiling face. He hides a smiling face. May I just give you a personal experience? Last night after we got home, my son was just in an uproar. I mean, he said, "My nose is bothering me." So, father who likes to see the humor in things, I said, "Why don't you cut it off?" He didn't think that was very funny. See, he has some allergies like his dad. And so I said, "Okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you some medicine." "I don't want the medicine." I said, "Well, if I don't give you the medicine, can't do anything for your nose bothering you." "But it's bothering me." I said, "Well, I'll give you the medicine." "But I don't want the medicine." We went through that for a while. And then came the time for the medicine. So I got some stuff that I got from the doctor and I gave him a shot of it. It's not liquid. I want, you know.
And he put his head down. And then, about 10 minutes, he said, "It's not working." Oh, my. I want to tell you what came to my mind then. I won't tell you. Sometimes, friends, when we go through the difficulties of life, and someone comes to us and we say, and they say, "God has not called us to live by answers. He has called us to live by promises." And someone says, "It doesn't work. I have tried it, and it doesn't work." Paul says, "It does." My point of reference is a sovereign God who could do anything he wants. He has seen fit to allow me to be in this place, and I give him thanks. Wow. You can't deal with a man like that or a woman like that. Let's quickly look at the mission for Thanksgiving. There's a meaning of Thanksgiving. It is an attitude of gratitude, and it's a gratitude that is expressed. Now we come to the mission. The mission for Thanksgiving. Why was he able to give thanks? God is in heaven. I can't see him. How can I give thanks? And what Paul is saying is that God broke into human history. He did something that has significantly affected my life and those to whom I have proclaimed it. And here it is, says St. Paul, as we go to it. Colossians 1, 12 to 14. God moved in history redemptively. God moved in history redemptively. Look at how he says it. Verse 13. For he delivered us from the domain of darkness, giving thanks to God, verse 12, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, for he. See, this happened, verse 13, happened, and it resulted in verse 12. God moved in history redemptively to do two things. One, God, my friends, moved into human history as a bondage breaker, a breaker of spiritual bondage. Listen to what, again, the apostle. For he delivered us from the domain of darkness, or the authority, or the jurisdiction of darkness. Darkness is the condition, my friends, of spiritual lostness, spiritual ignorance, moral corruption, demonic tyranny. That's where darkness really takes any soul that is under its control. And what the idea of the domain here, or the dominion, or the power, is that everything under that jurisdiction is influenced by that which is wicked. I want you to see what St. Paul is saying. When I cannot understand why I am in a circumstance that I'm in, I will focus upon what God has done in history. He has delivered us. The word deliver is a great, great, and interesting word in the original. Because the word means to rescue. But not only to rescue from the standpoint of taking you from a place and making sure that you are safe from the other. In the Greek, that word deliver is in what is known as the middle voice. Please forgive me for this. It's in the middle voice. And in the middle voice in Greek, it means that the subject acts through the verb to the object with a sole intention of bringing the object back to the subject. And what we have here, my friends, is that God, in his own sovereign way, redemptively, came into human history, went into the place where Satan held dominion, and he acted redemptively. And in his actions, he brought out of that domain a people to come back to himself so that they would be safe with him. That's what redemption is. to buy back to oneself. And what God did in time and in space, He did something for you and for me we do not fully understand, but we can fully enjoy. That is that He redeemed us. He broke the spiritual bondage you and I were under, and He liberated us so that we could live as God wants us to live. He is the true bondage breaker. Went down to where we were held. In other words, my friends, whatever thing has you captive this morning, God can reach you there, for He has done it in history already in redeeming us. Redeeming us. And in that prison, the apostle reflected upon what God had done in history that was actually enjoyed in time where he was. And he could say, giving thanks to God, for He has redeemed us. Giving thanks to God. I think the situation is far removed. I remember several years ago when I came here, several years ago, about 6 years now when I came here, I met someone who was just passing through. And this individual was going through a very, very difficult time, very difficult time. It's kind of funny, but not funny. This person said, one of the things I really am going through, a difficult time, I have to move from a 9,000 square foot house to a 6,000 square foot house. Oh boy, that's a problem, isn't it? It's true. See, my friends, circumstances could alter our sense of what God is doing, what God has done, what God wants to do. Simply because we value what we can taste, what we can touch, what we can see, what we can handle with our hands. And He is saying, I want to give you something that is so valuable that I'm going to put it inside of you. And that is, I'm going to put my grace to influence your heart so that you can give thanks at any time, in any place, for anything, no matter what it is. That's what God has done. He has moved in time to help us. Well, not only do we have, my friends, what God did breaking the spiritual bondage, but we have God acting to give us a spiritual heritage. A spiritual heritage. He has not only gone down into the darkness of this world and brought us out redemptively, but He has moved us, translated us, says the King James, transferred us, says some other translation. He has moved us from one place to the next, and He has brought us from where Satan held rule to where Christ, the Son of His love, holds rule. And listen to what happens. When we are a part of God's kingdom, when we are a part of that domain where Jesus Christ rules, Jesus said it this way, as my Father loves me, so I love you. So that the atmosphere in the kingdom of God is the love with which He loves His Son and is transferred to you and to me. God loves me as He loves His Son. Whenever people ask me to write some verse in their Bible, and one or two times I have been asked to do that, would you write something in my Bible, and I will write my favorite verse of Scripture, Romans 8 and 32. He who spared not His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? If God has given me His best in giving His Son, He will not withhold from me that which is less than His Son, which His Son came to provide. The blessing of a spiritual heritage. I wasn't born in a Christian family, but I have a Christian heritage. I have a spiritual heritage. And that spiritual heritage, my friends, is a God-given heritage. Let me quickly go on as we see these blessings of God redemptively. Look at the blessings of God relationally. Look at verse 12 again in our text. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. who has made us meet, says the King James. Fit, says some other translation. The word literally means to be made competent. Competent. You know what this is saying, friends? That in God's redemptive act, he has done something not only for me, but for us. And he has placed us in a relationship in which we celebrate again and again the communion which speaks of our thanks to God for what he has done and for what he will yet do. In the communion, you see, we come to share. We come to celebrate as one. And Paul says, he has made us, you and me, fit. But the word has a deeper meaning than that. The word literally means that God has made us sufficient for heaven at any time. At any time. At any time. You will never be more acceptable to God 10 years from now than you are now. You will never be more acceptable to God when you die than you are now. Everything that you need to stand before God, you have in Christ, and in him you are complete. Celebrating the fact that I don't have to impress God with praying more, giving more, singing harder, working harder, nothing of the sort, my friends. For my standing in God, he has accepted me in the Beloved. I don't need anything else. And no matter where I am, if I'm in prison, I'm accepted with God. If I'm on the road and I have a flat tire, I'm accepted with God. If you're at home and you go to your garage and find a flat tire, accepted with God. In fact, about 100 years ago, someone wrote a hymn that we don't have in our hymn book. I looked it up this morning in several of my books and I came across the words of it. Complete in thee, no work of mine may take, dear Lord, the place of thine. Thy blood hath bought for me a pardon, and now I am complete in thee. Yes, justified, oh blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Then he goes on to say, thy blood hath bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. What are you saying? In time, God, in his sovereign act, brought me into a relationship with himself. In time, God, by his sovereign power, keeps me in relationship to himself. And in the time to come, God will make sure that I reach the shore. Complete in him. I don't need anything else. When I have Christ, I have everything that God requires for me to get to heaven. Well, closing. Not only do we have, my friends, what I call the acceptance before him, but I have what I call our assurance in him. Our assurance in him. Some of you know that we moved into a little larger house. And the other day, we got our insurance renewal. And somebody, I don't know how it came up, and I told them that for my house, I have $138,000 insurance on renewal of the house if it burns down, which I thought was quite interesting. If it burns out, because it's brick, can't burn down, as far as I know. Someone said, you don't have enough insurance. You need more. So I called the insurance company, and I told them, I said, listen, this is what... So I got another bill. You have more. You pay more. See? Everything on earth changes. Everything on earth demands of us to the point where sometimes we wonder if we can go beyond this. But what God has provided, my friends, needs no improvement, needs no support, needs no altering. In wisdom, he has done it. And so I can say beyond a shadow of a doubt, I stand before him complete, and no matter what the situation is, I'm thankful. For my circumstance, of course not. In my circumstances. In them. Why? Because I have assurance. Listen to what he says. Because he has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. There is coming a time, friends, when we shall not all stay here just to go through this whole world twice removed and rewarmed and go through the same things over and over again. No, there's coming a time when St. Peter says there'll be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. And guess who will be there? I will be there. You will be there if you're in Christ. We have an insurance. And that insurance gives us assurance that in time you will not need more. It is sufficient. You might not know who Mrs. Joseph Knapp is. Some businessmen might. Joseph Knapp was the man who founded Manufacturers Life Insurance Company. His wife was a very close friend of Fanny Crosby and someone who was in music. And one day, Mrs. Knapp went to Fanny Crosby, her friend, and sat at the piano and played out a tune. And she said to Fanny Crosby, "Fanny, what does that tune say to you?" Fanny Crosby, just almost immediately as I read the story, said, "What does it say to me? It says this, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, born of his spirit and washed in his blood." Oh, friends, God has given us a foretaste of our inheritance here and now. And there is coming a time when we shall go to receive it all. He has promised it. And he will make sure that we get it. Let's pray. Oh, gracious God, we are so thankful to you this morning for our salvation. In the midst of a world where everything is crumbling, it is so good to know that the salvation in Christ will never lose its power. In the midst of a world where we have to pay more for insurance, we thank you that the insurance we have of heaven cost us nothing and will never cost us anything. Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices through Jesus Christ our Lord.